thank you, Bert, for a wonderful way to begin our worship service today. And I echo what I just said just a few moments ago. It is good to gather back in the sanctuary today for worship. We have missed you over the last couple weeks. We have missed you, but we know that as we gathered virtually in spirit over the last couple weeks, that we were gathered with the Spirit just as He gathers with us today in the sanctuary. We know we have many that are gathering with us this morning on Facebook Live as well, and we want to thank you for joining us for worship this day. It is a good day. It is a beautiful day to gather in the Lord's house for worship. We had a wonderful time of prayer this morning at 9:20. We had a wonderful time of Sunday school for some of our classes at 9:45, and that will continue again next week. And for those that are joining us via Facebook Live this morning, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource today, not just for our worship hour, but also for the many ministries coming up in the life of our church. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary today, it is good to gather here again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I also want to say before I get to our announcement time, that the wonderful lady who began our worship time this morning with our beautiful prelude also has a birthday coming up on tomorrow. Now, happy birthday, Bert. And I probably will pay for that later. I know that, but we make sure you mention to her before the worship service at the end of it to wish her a happy birthday. But we are thankful for her presence and the way she guides from the piano every Sunday morning. As we look ahead to the ministries coming up in the life of our church, I do want to remind you that our August newsletter will be coming out in the next week or so, probably this week. But if you have something that you would like to put in the August newsletter, it's not too late. Make sure you send it to Janice today or early tomorrow morning so she can find a place to put it in the August newsletter. So make sure you keep an eye out for that coming out later this week. Also a reminder that our virtual Bible study of the book of Hebrews will continue this week. Last week we missed because of my vacation time, but this week we'll pick that back up. We'll be meeting on Thursday night via Facebook Live at 6:30 p.m. and continue our study of the book of Hebrews. Also, this is the last week we'll be collecting items for the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation's Cancer Center Pantry. I notice we've got quite a few items in the hallway, down at the hallway in our communication center, but there's still a little bit of room to pack that box. So if you have items that you want to bring by, make sure you bring them by this week or by next Sunday, because next Sunday will be the deadline, the cutoff for that Sunday. Items needed are listed in your bulletin and in your July newsletter, things that they'll be collecting. And a new thing you see in your bulletin this morning is something that I know many of our students don't want to think about, but school is just around the corner. And with school being just around the corner, we need to collect school supplies for the Alamance Chamber of Commerce. They collect back-to-school classroom items every single year. And we will be collecting items for them. There's a box upstairs in the fellowship hall. There's a box in the communications center this morning. Items that they're collecting are in your bulletin today. They will also be listed in your newsletter coming up in the month of August. But if you have a chance to pick up some school supplies, please drop them off in one of those boxes. The deadline to collect items for this schoolroom closet is August 8th. So we've only got a couple weeks to collect items. But please, if you have a chance, pick up some of those items and drop them off in the boxes the next week or two. We gather here today to worship the risen Lord. We gather here and look forward to how the Spirit is going to move in this place. Be ready, because He is moving. Let us stand and worship the risen Lord this morning.
Oh,
morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, reading verses 6 through 15. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you are also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with His regulations. That was against us, and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. God made you alive with Christ. We don't know what it is to be alive without Christ. Through Christ, we are made alive, and through Christ, we worship and praise Him this day and every day. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, thanking Him for the life that He gives us and thanking Him for the joy that He brings us. Eternal God, whose signature we see if we just dare to look and open our eyes in the creation of the universe, help us this hour not just to look but also to listen for Your handwriting and Your voice in this place among these people. Connect our temporary praise of this hour to Your timeless rhythms of creation, Your ageless melodies, Your everlasting joyful noise. Guide us now to focus only on You, knowing that in You our distractions become new possibilities for action. Breathe life into our singing this day, our praying, our speaking, our listening, our touching, that all these activities might become more than they are. In our worship, may we reach out to You, O God, our Father, knowing that You have already enfolded us in Your arms. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we acknowledge that we don't praise you like we should. You've given us everything we need and more. And every day we see the examples of your handiwork, whether it's the beautiful sky that we love or the rain that we need or the storms that remind us of your power. Lord, we acknowledge that we don't acknowledge you. We pray that today, as we've had the opportunity to give, that you would use it in a way that only you can, that you would multiply it, that you would do great things with it, and that you would let the sacrifice of giving touch us and make us more prepared and more desirous of doing your will. I'm reminded of a song, Lord. Let the words of my mouth bring you praise. Let the words that I speak be seasoned with your love and grace. And may the things, O Lord, that I choose to say bring glory and not shame to your name each day. Let the words of my mouth bring you praise. Amen.
Thank you, Gay and Burke, for our special music this morning. It has been a unique 3 weeks in the life of our church. But it's good to start getting back to a little bit more and more. I will, however, confess that as many of you have battle COVID, just like I have, you never know when any of the symptoms or the side effects of this virus will pop up. And about 5 minutes ago, my throat is about dried out. So I'm going to already apologize in advance. I've got a bottle of water here, and I might signal somebody to go get me another one because there's a good chance I'm going to need it. But God will see us through. But it is good to be back in the Lord's house this day. I missed you last week. I'm thankful for Jonathan who came in my absence, who preached a wonderful sermon, had a chance to listen to it last week. I was actually online for the worship service last week as I walked around Epcot. It was a unique worship experience, but I did get to worship in Epcot last Sunday. It was good to have him in my absence. He always does a great job, but it's good to be back. As we prepare for God's word this day and what he has laid on my heart as we continue the sermon series I began a couple weeks ago in the book of Psalms, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning again, asking for his presence with us this day. Creator God, we come before you today asking prayers for all those in our midst, all those who lead nations, cities, churches, homes, as you poured out your love into all creation. May we hear your word and follow this day. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts as your followers lead us to you. Holy One, we come before you this morning, people sometimes feeling broken into shards of lives, sick, poor, hungry, hidden by the limitations of our own eyes. Help us to see as you see us, as you poured out your love into all creation, especially into us. And may we hear your word and follow. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts lead us to you. God of mercy, we come before you this day seeking to live as you command. But we recognize that oftentimes we fail. And thus we are torn by cries of despair or anger, power or control, lost to foolishness and stumbling blocks despite your love in the word. Help us to hear your mouth this day, to hear your word and follow. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts lead us to you. Gentle God, we come before you, giving thanks for all the blessings of life, the gift of life, hope, faith, love, family, friends, all we care for this day. And we say thank you. Help us to be your hands. Incline your heart, O gracious God, and teach us to love. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart lead us and lead others to you. We lift this prayer this day. In God's name we pray. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. And let me say it is good to be back in person on this beautiful Sunday morning. I know the last 3 weeks have not just been long for us, Gay and myself, as staff members here, but has also been long for our congregation here as we've had a small outbreak of COVID. Yet God has seen us through it, and God will continue to see us through it as his presence continues to be with us, not just this day, but in the days and weeks and months to come. And so this morning, I want to continue where I left off just a couple weeks ago. I want to continue where we left off in our sermon series, the summer in the Psalms. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, if you had a chance to watch me on Facebook Live as I preached from my home 2 weeks ago, I covered 3 Psalms in one Sunday. So I kind of crammed it all into one sermon. Well, this Sunday, actually for the next two Sundays, I'm going to cover one psalm in two Sundays. You might be thinking, well, what in the world are you doing? You cover three psalms one Sunday, and you're going to take two Sundays to cover one specific psalm. And the reason why I'm going to do this is because the depth of this book, the depth of this Old Testament book of Psalms, and specifically the depth of the psalm we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks, speaks to who God is and how He speaks and interacts with us, what He challenges us as Christians to do and to be. Just as we are wired to be moved emotionally when we hear certain songs of life, every time we hear "Here Comes the Bride," every time we hear "God Bless America," or every time we hear one of my favorite songs, "We Are the Champions," every time we hear those songs, just something stirs in our souls. The book of Psalms has that same effect on us. Not only are we moved emotionally, or we should be moved emotionally, we also start remembering things with music. So it makes sense that when God was writing His word to us, when He was giving His word to us in Scripture, He included music as a part of a way of teaching and remembering and reminding us who He is. As I told you a couple weeks ago, and you already knew this, there are 150 Psalms. It is the longest book in the Bible. And as I told you in the beginning, we would not be covering all of them during the sermon series, but I encourage you to read through all 150 Psalms during this summer or the fall, however long it takes. I had an opportunity in divinity school to take a class on the book of Psalms. And so for 4 months, we read through all 150 Psalms three times. That was our goal, to read through all 150 Psalms three different times, focusing on different things each time we read through them all. It's a powerful book. It speaks to who we are, and it speaks to who God is. This morning, the psalm we're going to focus on is Psalm 19. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm 19 this morning. It is a psalm of David, and it is classified as a wisdom psalm. There's different categories, and Psalm 19 is the wisdom psalm. The wisdom psalms were written specifically to teach us something. It's to make us wiser, and that's something we should all strive to be. The lesson that we are taught in Psalm 19 specifically is that God, the Word, won't be silenced. This morning I'm going to focus on the first six verses of Psalm 19. However, when you read just the first six verses, you don't get the feeling of the music, of the way the psalm works as a whole. So as we're going to read all 14 verses this morning, but as I read, I want you to focus on the words, the beauty that King David pours out in this psalm and the way he writes it. As we read this morning, the words will be on the screen behind me. We're going to focus on verses 1 through 6, but listen to how God speaks through this psalm. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from His pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19 falls neatly into two halves, verses 1 through 6 and verses 7 through 14. Now, the first six verses of Psalm 19 focus on the world that God created. The world that we see every single day. While the last eight verses deal with the word that God communicated. In both creation and in Scripture, God has revealed himself, his very nature, his very character to humanity. We get to see who God is through his creation and through his word. Yet, just as our God is unique and distinct, he has done it in two uniquely different ways. I'm going to take you on a little journey through theology this morning. These two ways that God reveals himself to each one of us are what theologians refer to as general revelation and special revelation. Now, this has nothing to do with the last book in the New Testament. Just forget that, okay? General revelation and special revelation. General revelation is what we're going to talk about today in verses 1 through 6. Next week, we're going to talk about special revelation. So what do these two words mean? What do these two revelations mean? Well, let's talk about general revelation. General revelation refers to the general truths that can be known about God through his creation, through nature. Some would say that God has also revealed himself through philosophy and reason, and I think there is room for talking about that as well, but not this morning. We're going to focus specifically on nature. Since God has revealed himself through his creation, and that's what Psalm 19 focuses on. Throughout creation, through all of creation, God has given evidence of his existence. I think we all can agree with that, right? It is a constant, ongoing revelation because creation is constantly changing and evolving. All the verbs that King David talks about in Psalm 19, in verses 1 and 2 specifically, are continuous, are unfinished, are ongoing action verbs. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The skies are proclaiming his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. None of that's talking about the past. That's talking about the present and what he's doing now. Have you ever stood on the seashore or looked on a mountain range and just thought to yourself, how could anyone say there is no God? We've all been there. When we look at his creation, maybe it's looking out the window or seeing the sunset one night. How could anyone say there is no God? I think we've all said something like that And when we've said that, what you've been talking about is general revelation. We can look at the perfect design of the universe and know that there was a designer behind it. Now, if I go walking into the forest, and as I'm walking in the forest, I come across a wristwatch, an old wristwatch that's just lying on the ground. I don't think to myself that that wristwatch is a result of some random explosion in a machine shop. I just don't see it that way. That's not the way it works. Someone had to have designed that wristwatch. The universe is the same way. God had a plan. Now, if you go on the internet, there are hundreds of websites that you can give you facts about how the earth is just the right temperature to sustain life and has the perfect tilt to its axis and so forth. And I'm sure you've heard many of those things said before. However, what blew me away a couple weeks ago as I was preparing for the sermon were some of the facts that I found on what people would call non-Christian websites, specifically some of the science websites. One website I came across was actually a book that I referred to. In 2000, a paleontologist and an astronomer collaborated on a book which is called Rare Earth: Why Complex Life is Uncommon in the Universe. That's one of those books you just see, you want to pull it off the bookshelf. Not really. But anyway, basically in this book, they argued that the odds of finding another living world in all the cosmos was severely unlikely. They called this the rare earth hypothesis. And some have also referred to this as the Goldilocks principle. Now that's something we can probably follow. Everybody remember the story of Goldilocks, right? Right? Remember the story. Goldilocks is walking through the forest. She comes across a house in the forest and finds three bowls of porridge, three chairs, three beds, and only one of each is just right. The same is true about life on Earth. The right ingredients are needed. The right ingredients are required. A planet needs liquid water. It needs an energy source and chemical building blocks like carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen, all in the correct atmosphere, in the correct way for the life forms that we are familiar with to survive and to thrive. The right crust is needed. Gas giants and molten worlds need not apply. Luckily, Earth possesses the suitable distribution of elements to ensure a hot metallic core and a rocky mantle. But not just the crust. The right temperature is needed in the Earth. The necessity for liquid water also means that planetary temperatures must permit the substance to retain its liquid form in some regions. But that's not all. The right moon is required. And when this happens, our large moon ensures climate stability by minimizing changes in planetary tilt. If a planet did not have tilt and it was too straight, it would not have seasons like we have. But if this planet has too much tilt, it will result in extreme seasons, and we would not have life. Life, but that's not all. It also requires the right star. The sun provides Earth with the energy for life, and thankfully, rather stable. Imagine this for a second. Imagine that you're baking a turkey for Thanksgiving in your oven. You got to cook it for a long time at the right temperature for it to grow, for it to be done for the family to eat. But what happens if that oven suddenly surges in temperature, or sometimes goes out, or sometimes just explodes? Are y'all going to have a good Thanksgiving meal? It's not going to happen. But guess what? That's what the sun does for us. It is the right type of star. But that's not all. The right core is needed. Earth's solid inner core and liquid outer core provides and plays a crucial role in protecting life from deadly solar radiation. Differences in temperature and composition in the two core regions drive this powerful dynamo that we know emitting Earth's protective electromagnetic field. But that's not all. We also need the right neighbor. You know that big planet in our solar system, Jupiter? If it wasn't for Jupiter, we would be bombarded 10,000 more times by meteors and comets if it wasn't for that planet. Now, tell me, are you tired of science yet? But guess what? If it wasn't for all those right circumstances, just like Goldilocks found the right house, life wouldn't happen. In short, Earth contains all the ingredients and environmental necessities for life to emerge and also to be vital and relative. It is just right. So how is it possible to look at all this evidence for a designer and still miss the point? Creation does not just give us evidence for God's existence, it also gives us insight into his very character. Look at the nature of creation and you find out about the very nature of God. Verses 3 and 4 in Psalm 19 says this: there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Now, I will tell you, the translation in Hebrew here is a little difficult to translate. It can be understood in two ways. Some scholars say these verses mean that even without speech or without language, creation would still speak of its creator, that creation would still speak of God. Just think about it. Does creation speak to you? Niagara Falls whispers, "There is a God who made me, and he is powerful." The moon whispers, "There is a God who made me, and he is romantic." The Milky Way galaxy, 100,000 light years across, and one of 100 billion galaxies whisper, "There is a God who made me, and he is big." The 300 species of hummingbirds, 13,000 varieties of daffodils, 17,000 species of butterflies all whisper, "There is a God who made us, and he is creative." The great white shark whispers, "There is a God who made me, and he is to be respected." Peer inside a microscope, and you will find a God who cares about the details. Hold a newborn baby in your arms, and you will experience a God of wonder. Test the gravity he made by jumping out of an airplane with a parachute, and you will experience a God of excitement. Jump out of an airplane without a parachute, and you'll discover a God of absolutes. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, there is a second way to look at verses 3 and 4, where it says there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. That is to say, one way to look at it is that every single person on planet Earth, regardless of what language they speak or whether or not they have a written language at all, can know that there is a God just by looking at creation. And that is general revelation. That's why in Romans 1:19 and 20, it says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that they have been made, that have been made. So when scientists or any human can look at creation and conclude that there is no God behind it, it's not that they have a knowledge problem, because the knowledge is there. It's more of an obedience problem. Remember the Goldilocks principle. This would be like Goldilocks saying, look, I do not want to admit that I am breaking and entering this house. I do not want to own up to the fact that I am criminally trespassing. So I am just going to assume that this house, these chairs, this porch, these beds are all just an accident of natural selection. However, that would be intellectually dishonest. But don't we do the same thing sometimes? Don't we do the same thing when we fail to acknowledge that the Creator, the one who breathed this beautiful place into existence, is speaking to us, challenging us to do something, and we don't listen? Romans 1:20 concludes by saying, so they are without excuse. You know, it's that last line that ought to make us stop and think. There is good news. God did not just leave us general revelation that points to his existence, that we look at creation and we have to know everything by what everybody else can see as well. He also gave us special revelation that points to his will for our individual lives. And that's what we'll talk about next week when we look at verses 7 through 14. The good news is that God has made known the gospel to each one of us. And as we close, let me read two more verses from Romans, this time chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Essentially, in God's word, we find out how to be made righteous before God. And we'll talk a little bit more in detail about that next week. But until then, enjoy the general revelation of God. It's right before your eyes. We just have to see it. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that you reveal who you are in every moment of the day. The things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we smell and taste and touch. Father, you reveal yourself to us daily. May we be aware of you in all. And in being aware of you, may we be challenged by you to show others who you are. Because that is our ultimate goal, our ultimate desire, your ultimate mission for us. Father, we give you thanks for your revelation to us this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe today is the first day you reveal that, you know what, God's been speaking to me through his creation, and I've just been ignoring it. If that's where you've been today and you need to talk with me, I'll be down front. Or today you realize, you know what, I've been walking the other way with my eyes closed and I really have been opened to his word. I'll be down front if you need to turn your life over to him. Whatever decision you have to make today, if you're looking for a church home that seeks to honor God through understanding who he is, First Baptist Elon is that home for you. Whatever decision you have today, don't put it off. Make it this day. Let us stand and sing our closing this morning. To you every single day. See him, know him, and work for him. And I hope to see you next Sunday as we continue to understand Psalm 19. Go in peace.